Praise the Lord. Well, thank you, and thank you for allowing us to be part of that, the week at Pastor's Camp. It truly was a blessing. You know, it's interesting, we sometimes take for granted the blessing it is to be a believer. This morning, interesting enough, someone said to me, "You're so lucky." And I looked at them and I said, what do you mean I'm so lucky? They said to me, "You're so lucky because you know where you're going when it comes to eternity." And I looked at them and I said, "Well, you could know that as well." But you know, folks, we are so blessed as believers because we know where we're going. And I love that song where we've talked about the importance of taking the message of hope to those that don't have the same hope that we have, and making sure that they understand that they can also know where they are going. And as Pastor Nicole said earlier, if you're not sure even this morning, we want to be here to help you and to encourage you. Now, we've been going through a series here at Spa Church the last few weeks, and we're talking about a book by Carrie Newhoff. It's called "I Didn't See It Coming," and we're using some of these principles here through the summer to talk about different things that we face as believers. I think we face as people in general that come against us, and we're like, "Whoa, I'm not really sure how to deal with this, or how do I walk through this?" And I want to start by talking about a vacation Michelle and I did last year. Actually, we went down to the States and with the kids and with some friends. And part of the vacation was we went to a ghost town. Anybody ever been to a ghost town before in their life? So we went to this ghost town down in the States, and it was an interesting place. Now they actually redid the place, and they made it more of a tourist attraction where we could go in and see some of the stuff. Actually, this classroom I found very interesting because the classroom was left as it was when the school closed down in 1960. I believe it's 1968. It's what it says on the chalkboard there, if you can read that. Did you know there's a number of ghost towns in Canada? There's quite a few of them in Canada. This one here is in Rowley, Alberta. It was a happening town in the 20s. Wow, okay, happening. There was 500 people there, okay? It's happening. It's happening. Today, there's a whopping 8 people that live in. Can you imagine 8 people living in this town? This is another town. This is Stanley, B.C., and it was a place where people came during the Caribou Gold Rush, and today there is no one. This one here I find very interesting, Exploits, Newfoundland. Doesn't that look like a pretty town? Like, seriously, it's a ghost town, apparently, out in Exploits, Newfoundland, and it was a happening place back in the 18th century. There was a number of people that had gathered there and lived there. Now there's only a few people that come during the summer months. The last town I want to talk about is a town called Tungsten, Northwest Territories. This actually was the number one place in Canada when it comes to mining, was in this place, Tungsten, Northwest Territories. And I look at it, and if you can see it, you have all these trucks parked there. It's just dead. And I'm thinking, wow, it's amazing. Can you imagine going back to one of these towns today and just standing there? And you hear sort of the wind. Okay, let's set the mood. You hear the wind blowing. Maybe there's a few birds. And it's kind of an eerie feeling, right? And I was thinking, man, I wouldn't want to go there because I'm not a person that likes to be alone. To some people, they're probably thinking that would be heaven, but not so much me. But I think about what happened and where they are at today. And I think about how important it is for us to live in a community that's not dead. You following me? For us to have that connection, for us to be able to interact with other people around us. Unfortunately, in some ways, we've become sort of communication ghost towns. In some ways, people have isolated themselves and have separated themselves so much that there isn't that community that we once enjoyed or that we should be enjoying. Again, back into this series that we're doing, didn't see it coming. In its third chapter, Kerry Newhoff talks about something called disconnect. And you know, to be clear, sometimes we're sitting there and we're going, does anybody really care? Does really anybody really understand where I'm at? Is anybody really out there? Well, I want to talk to you about the fact that we don't have to be disconnected here today, but that we can be connected in a way that honors God and encourages us. Why don't we start with prayer? Father, thank you that you've brought us together as a family here today. And that, Lord, as we are here as different individuals, you want to speak to each one of us. You have made us, Lord, for a purpose, and that is to honor you, but it is also to connect with others around us. And Lord, as we go through this material here this morning, I pray in Jesus' name that you would speak clearly to us, that you would reveal yourself to us and help us to understand our responsibility in your precious name. Amen. Amen. When you think about disconnect, you got to start by thinking, how in the world did we get here? How did we get to this place where a lot of people feel so disconnected? Well, it started with the death of discussion. And this is what Kerry talks about in his book a little bit. See, here's the thing, folks. We've never in our history have had as many friends as today, right? Never in the history. Now, for those that are on Facebook, you know what I'm talking about. You got 1,000 friends out there, right? But yet we feel so incredibly disconnected, and we don't have that one-on-one that we really should have. We find ourselves sometimes sitting at the table. Now, I know this doesn't happen to you, but you find yourself sitting at the table. Across from you is someone you care about. Maybe it's your father, which happens way too much in my home. And they're sitting there, and they're on their little devices, and they're talking to someone that's sitting at their table about either 3 blocks or 3,000 miles away. You know what I'm talking about? See, it's no longer a social media. We call it social media, but there's nothing social about it. It's a monologue, isn't it? In many ways, it's a monologue where we're just talking. And this isn't just teens. Stop throwing rocks at the teens. Because this isn't just about teens. Because social media in our day, it's interesting. There was a study done in the States. Now, I don't think Canada is much far off, by a place called Market Watch. And they found this. They found that American adults spend more than 11 hours per day in some form of media. Now, some of us are sitting in front of our computer doing work, but we're sitting there 11 hours per day being consumed with some sort of form of media. That's up 9 hours and 32 minutes just over the last 4 years. Now, tweens, now we're talking preteens, they spend more than 4.5 hours per day on screens, and teens spend about 6.5 hours a day on different social media stuff. And you look at it and you go, wow, we're spending a lot of time exercising our thumbs, hallelujah, right? But not so much exercising communication. And what has happened is that we slowly begin to disassociate with ourselves from people that we need to be associating from. I talked to a psych nurse just this last little while, and she said something interesting. She says there was what they did is they took a look at brains of people that spend a lot of time on social media stuff. And she said that what they found when they did a brain scan is they found dark spots in their brain where there should be activity. Now, some of us got a lot of dark spots in our brain, not because of lack of activity, just because we like our nothing box. Guys, you know what I'm talking about? We're just like going there and thinking about nothing. But there's a lot, and you know what the unfortunate thing is? Those dark spots, many times, especially when people were on social media or too much social media, were the spots where the emotions are kept. So what's happening is that more and more people are becoming consumed with social media and not interacting, and the emotions are going down. So what does that lead to? Well, it leads to loneliness, doesn't it? In a lot of cases, Psychology Today said something. It said, the newest epidemic in America is loneliness. It affects up to 47% of adults. Double the numbers it affected 10 decades or a few decades ago. They say that the Generation Z, now Generation Z are those that were born in 1995 or later. Anybody here born after 1995? There's a few of you, okay? They say that this generation, those born 1995, were found to be the loneliest generation on the planet. I thought, well, how could that possibly be? Because you got so many friends. Well, what does the Bible say? Enough psychology and all that other stuff. What does the Bible have to say about all of this? Let's jump to a very familiar portion of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says this, "Let us not give up or forsake," as the King James says, "meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching." The word forsake or give up is an interesting word. In the original Greek, it means to separate connection with one another. Let us not separate connection. Isn't that exactly what's going on in many people's lives? We're separating ourselves. We're not taking the time with each other, not communicating with each other. And what happens is that people become more and more depressed. Okay. How many of you remember the show Little House on the Prairie? How many of you will say that you still watch it once in a while? There's a few hands that are going up. Little House on the Prairie, okay, I gotta admit, I love the show, okay? I watched a lot of it. It was very slow. You know what I'm talking about? They actually, even when they filmed it slow. They've zoomed in on a person, and you watch this person, you go, okay, let's move on now. And, you know, the best thing is happening, you know, the most exciting thing is, you know, they forgot the hay bale in the barn. So away it goes, and they're moving to the hay bale at light net speed, right? And it's not much the show from Saskatchewan, Corner Gas. Corner Gas, come on. That's common today, new Little House on the Prairie, right? Where nothing happens ever in that little town. But the interesting thing is, if you go back to that century or to that time where people lived, it was all about community, wasn't it? Like they didn't have the TVs, they didn't have, most people didn't read more than 50 books in their lifetime. Good grief, some of us read that in a year. No, maybe not. But they read very little, so it was all about community. Now, I'm not saying we can go back to that time, nor am I saying that we should go back to that time. But what I'm saying, folks, is that we need to learn to stop and communicate. How did we get here? How did we get to this challenge? Is we fail to communicate. And can I say this to you? If you're in a place right now where loneliness is something that you're struggling with, and you're in a place where you're feeling, does anyone care? Can I just remind you of what God said in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15? I love this. He says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born?" And I love this. "Though she may forget," I like to see that. He says, "Though she may forget, I will not forget you." God says, man, I'll never forget you. If you feel you're in a lonely place, call out to God, but also make sure community, you're part of the community. We need to revive connection. Secondly, the way we got here was the death of confession. And I'm not talking about the confession booth, "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned." I think that would be fun in a Pentecostal church, right? I would love to do that one time, just sitting there. But okay, anyways. I'm not talking about that, nor am I talking about keeping your mouth shut after you did something wrong and you should own up to it. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny at times like that, people will, when they do get found out about something they've done wrong, they're weeping and wailing and mourning and they're all distraught after they've been found out. And I think it's not because they did the thing wrong, but I think it's because they got found out more than anything else. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about the importance of confessing to God and having a relationship with God and confessing to one another. And I'll explain that in a second. But listen, it's got to start with your willingness to confess to God. You got to make that part of your everyday life. First, you know this verse, 1 John 1:9. If what? Come on, let's read it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. A couple things I love that, love in that verse is that, first of all, there's our part. You got to do it. God, help me, forgive me. We know Christ died for my sin and I want to bring it up to you. Then He will purify us from what? Come on, from what? All unrighteousness. I've seen too many people that are beating themselves up because they feel that, you know, God won't forgive me for this thing. Bring them to this verse, okay? And if you feel like that, bring yourself to this verse. God forgives all unrighteousness. We need to own up to God, but we also need to own up to each other. I was talking to a friend of mine about someone in their church, and they're just weeks away from getting married, and the guy had a quick fling with a girl from the church, got her pregnant, weeks away from wedding. Pastor found out, and he says, you need to own up, buddy. You need to go and make this right. No, it's not such a big deal. Says, whoa, hang on, yes, it is a big deal. You need to go make this right. And if you don't, then I'm gonna have to contact the girl myself. So he owned up by sending her an email. Now that's a great way to own up, isn't it? Sent her an email, hey, by the way, dear, just want you to know I got somebody pregnant. See you in a couple of weeks when we get married. Obviously the wedding didn't happen. But folks, we need to be willing to confess when we do something wrong. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Confessing, standing up. Huh. Be a man. Women, be a woman. Stand up when you do something wrong. Confess it. Yeah, it might be some repercussions, but man, a living. When we hide this stuff, that's what breaks the disconnect. That's how we disconnect from people. That's how we slowly avoid them because we've got something going on between us and them. And God says, that's not okay. He says, you got to confess your sin to each other so that you can be healed. See, I think it's not just about healing the relationship, though that's part of it. I think it's about healing the bitterness. I think it's about healing the resentment. I think it's about healing those things the enemy tries to bring in there to destroy a relationship and leads to disconnect. How did we get here? How did we get to this place? Well, we got here because we're not communicating the way we should. We got here because we're not confessing the way we should. So how do we get to the place God wants us to be? How do we get to that place of communication and the place where we are truly connecting together? You know, I don't know about you, but there's been times where I've looked at my cell phone and I thought, man, I was standing up in Whitehorse, at a lake in Whitehorse, and I was standing up at the lake and I was looking and I think, I would just love to throw it. Yeah, come on, you ever done that? You think, man, and you know, some people think the best thing to do to be disconnected is to take a bucket of water and drop your cell phone in there. I hope it's waterproof. Or you know, I think there are those people, there's those people that love cell phones so much, they want to take a hammer to it. Oh, the screen didn't work. It didn't protect it like they said it would protect it. You know what, folks? The technology isn't evil. This one's done. But technology isn't evil. It's how we use technology that is the thing we've got to be aware of. So first of all, what we got to do in order to connect is we got to own up. We got to own up. And I love what Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 says. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. See, a lot of time we make excuses, don't we? Right? We make excuses why we should be allowed to do what we're doing, or for our attitude, or whatever. And we try to get out of it and by making these excuses. Instead of looking for ways to own up, ways to find a clear direction, ways to make things better. It's interesting. If you find yourself in a place where you're making excuses, I want you to stop and consider the opportunities that you're wasting. So you guys, gentlemen, you see this pretty girl. And she's the one you think you're going to marry. And she rejects you. Actually, she doesn't just reject you. She tells her friend to tell you to get lost. This has never happened before, by the way. And you have a choice to make at that point in time. You have a choice to either say, well, that's it, I'm done. I am never going to date again in my life. And you go hide in a corner and you suck your thumb and rock back and forth like a little baby. Or you could do what this certain individual did, and you could keep going and keep pursuing until you wear her down. And then you marry her and you're married for 29 years. Hallelujah. You could find yourself in a place where you are been rejected by a job. And you say, man, I'm done. I'm just going to go live with mom and dad for the rest of my life, eat Cheerios, and play video games. Now, I didn't do that one. But we have a choice. I really love, it, when you jump to scripture, I really love in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 7, it says, when they came to the border of that border, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So this is Paul's second missionary journey. He's traveling along, and he's going, man, I want to get into Bithynia. I want to get into that place. And Jesus says, wait a minute, you're not going there. And I can imagine if it would have been me, okay, I'll admit, I probably would have said, really, Jesus, you don't want me to go there? Fine. I'm just going home. Like, I've got a place that, why do I want to travel all around anyways and talk to these Jewish people that don't like me and all that? No, I'm done. And Paul could have chosen to do that. But then if he would have chosen to do that, he would have missed out the very next verse. In verse 9 of Acts chapter 16, it says this. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. See, it was through Paul's obedience to say, okay, Jesus doesn't want me to go that way. What do you want from me, Lord? That very night, he got a vision, and God said, you know what? I don't want you to go to Bithynia, but I want you to go to Macedonia. And he made his way up to Macedonia, with it, which today is northern Turkey. And the gospel came to that place for the very first time. I don't know what would have happened in Bithynia. Maybe it would have been a bad, bad situation. But God knew. And I don't know what's happening in your life. I don't know what God is putting the brakes on in your life or what doors he's opening for you. But see, here's the thing. You've got to be willing to go the direction he wants you to go to. Don't make excuses. Don't make excuses why you're not going to connect. Because as soon as you do, you have closed the door to opportunities. right? We all know this guy, don't we? Does anybody know who this guy is? His name was Thomas Edison. You know the story. We've heard this from pulpits and we've heard this all over the place. The inventor of the light bulb, what did he say? He says this, I have not failed 10,000 times. I've not failed once. I've succeeded in proving out that those 10,000 ways will not work. What I have eliminated, when I have eliminated the ways that will not work, I will find a way that will work. Just because God shuts the door for you here or here or here or here or here, just because this doesn't work or that doesn't work or whatever it is, stop making excuses. Keep going, keep going, keep going. You don't know what's around the next corner. And see, that's the problem, especially when it comes to communicating with God. People say, you know, God, you're not answering my prayer. I'm done with you. And they walk away. Man, how many times I've heard that? And God's simply saying, wait a whoa, whoa. You haven't persevered. You haven't seen it through. How do we get here? How do we get to where God wants us to go? Stop making excuses. Own up. Secondly, speak up. Choose to have proper conversations. I love what Carey says in his book. He says, life-changing conversations is a back-and-forth exchange in which people take an active interest in one another. It's not about you, just your conversation. It's listening. It's being willing to, and I'm talking about your conversation with God as well. Man, we come with this whoop list, don't we? And we roll it out and we're rattling all the things off we want from God. Thank you, God. Answer my list. Here it is. I throw it up to you. See you later. And we're gone. And God's going, hang on. Whoa. Have you thought maybe I might have a word or two for you as well? Have you thought maybe you need to just listen, speak up. Yes, we need to share, but we also need to listen. Here's what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. It says, each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others, humbly listening to others around us. You know, there's only so many times a person wants to hear about your trip to Disneyland. Honestly. I challenge you with this. When you're talking to someone, listen how many times they actually ask you a conversation, or ask you a question, should I say, about where you're at. Because a lot of times it is the monologue, isn't it? And they're talking about Disneyland, they're talking about Disney, and that's fine, but how many times, and how many times do you do it? Do you actually ask the person, hey, how are you doing? And not just the, you know, that flippant, how are you doing fine, how are you doing fine? And it's such a, you know what? We got to find another phrase that we use, right? And instead of how are you? Like, let's say shalom. Let's use something Jewish or whatever. But asking how, you don't care. They don't care how you do. If they would say, how are you doing? And listen, can I encourage you? Ask that and really care. Wilma, how are you doing? Really, how are you doing? And listen. Okay, you're doing great. It's great to hear. But listen to each other. Yeah, we need to speak up. Have you ever been in a conversation which really, really excited you? You felt your emotion. When we were at pastor's camp, I spoke to a few people and I almost felt giddy speaking to them because it was just, we're talking about the things of God and we're talking about what God is doing. And I just felt like jumping up and down. And you ever been there? Okay, maybe I'm weird, but I love conversations where we're energized and encouraged. Can you imagine if that could be you talking to someone else and encouraging them and speaking up in a way that blesses them, not speaking up in a way that life stinks and my goldfish dies and I'm gonna go home and drink coffee, which is depressing, quite honestly. But speak up in a way that encourages. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs. That it, wait, what? Benefit those who listen. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this, therefore encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. Can we speak up like that? Can we choose to speak up in a way that benefits others? And you know what the neat thing about it is? you start speaking up in a way that benefits others, it's gonna come back to you. It does. It really does. You start speaking positive encouragement and so forth in the last, man, you're gonna feel good about it. And they're gonna come up to you and say, Stuart, man, thanks for doing that. I appreciate that. And they're gonna affirm you as well. So speak up. And lastly, and I end with this, is it being willing to give up. You know what? It would be really fun if we were to disconnect for our phones for a little while. If we could just put it aside. And by the way, this sermon's for me. You can ask my wife, because I'm notorious for sitting here on my phone, and she has to remind me, I'm not using this phone again, dear, just so you know. It's done. Okay? It's anybody want to buy a good used phone, as you can have one, it's right up here. Cheap. But be willing to disconnect for a while. Again, can we jump back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Can I say, do not let any unwholesome attitudes, unwholesome reclusion, unwholesome distractions come out of your life. I went to visit someone a while back who very much is a recluse. And as I was spending time with this individual, the conversation was just, it wasn't very pleasant. Actually, it was quite cynical. Remember we talked about that a couple of weeks ago? It was very cynical. And I thought, man, you know the problem is when you recluse, when you shut yourself in and you just focus on the four walls, life becomes very dull, very discouraging, and very depressing. Give up those things in your life that will keep you from having community, from having relationships with people that you need to have relationships with. Can I encourage you, give up even those things in your life that will keep you from bringing the message of hope, as we sang earlier, to those that need it so much. Yesterday we were at Cedar Gardens, thanks to those that helped out. It's not always something I'm looking forward to, spending the morning at Cedar Gardens and doing a bunch of burgers. My eyes burnt so bad. We had so many burgers going, and we were underneath this canopy, and there's smoke in my eyes, and I couldn't even see it. It was just gross. It was very sad. So it's not always the funnest thing, but you know one thing that I noticed when we got there yesterday was we drove into the parking lot. And they were setting up this canopy for us. And they said to us, we didn't want you to be in the sun. We wanted to make it as easy as possible. And then one lady in her wheelchair drove up to us and said, why are you doing this? Then she said that to you, Esther, or wherever Esther, I think she said that to you, yeah. Why are you doing this? We said, well, because we love you. Why else? It's when you begin to pour out and begin to connect with those around you, you can make an incredible difference. So I don't know where you're at today. I'm going to ask Steve and the team to come back up here, please. I don't know where you're at today when it comes to connecting, where you're at when it comes even to connecting with God. Maybe things are going super, super good. Praise the Lord for that. Maybe there's some challenges. Maybe you're sitting there and going, Lord, I really need to tighten up some areas in my life. We want to pray with you today. We've got some time here this morning. Morning, we're still morning. And if you need prayer, the prayer team's going to be up front here. And they want to pray for you and pray with you. If there are areas in your life where you're saying, I just need prayer for this. And maybe it's not even you. Maybe you just, part of your connecting is you know someone in your community that really needs you to intercede for them, to pray for them. Why don't you let these guys pray with you for that person? It really is about connecting, isn't it? Father, I pray in Jesus' name that as we take time now to pray for our situations, to pray for our communities, to pray for our friends, loved ones, whomever they may be, God, I pray, would you meet with us right now right now. And Lord, if there are those here this morning that are facing challenges and discouragements, whatever it may be, God, help them. Help them to be bold enough to say, I need prayer, to come up and to let those up front here pray with them. We commit ourselves to you now in Jesus' name. Why don't we stand as we worship the Lord? Come on forward if you need prayer.